Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, two people were arrested on charges. They laundered $4.5 billion in stolen cryptocurrency.
Tony Kornheiser, and I told you, if we just keep our mouths shut, they'll arrest the wrong people. That's what happened. Let me just say this. I love Matt Damon. I'm not buying cryptocurrency. You can make all the great advertisements in the world. I'm not buying that, because when you go to cash it in, they give you blueberries. It's not real money. It's not. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, another disappointment from Michaela Schifrin, another upset of a number one team, and another 5 good minutes on the Super Bowl. But we begin today with reports from Brian Windhorst of ESPN and Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer that, in fact, trade talks between the 76ers and Nets are ongoing, and there is expectation that Ben Simmons could be traded for James Harden. Wilbon, we got 22 hours until the trade deadline. Will this deal get done?
Tony, I don't think it will. I think it so heavily favors Philadelphia if the deal is done. Look, you put James Harden, I know he's got this hamstring injury. You put James Harden out there with Joel Embiid, who this week at this moment, based on what I've seen the last 72 hours, Joel Embiid is probably the MVP, at least for the moment. It changes about four or five people, but Embiid's right there. You put Harden out there with Embiid the rest of this season, they're going to figure something out, and they're a threat in the East to win the East. Tony, Brooklyn, you put Ben Simmons on Brooklyn, it does nothing. You're not going to bring him in here and change what they do. Now, you can say, wait a minute, Kevin Durant is every bit as effective on a basketball court as any one player can be, even more so than Joel Embiid. But it's the way they play. It's what they do. You also got Kyrie Irving out there. And Ben Simmons ain't going to just walk in from some high school gym, not having played at all, and be as effective for the Nets as Harden would be for the Sixers. At least I don't think so. You need Ben Simmons at the beginning of your year in camp and all that. You don't have that. I don't think it would be made, but wow, it would be fascinating for the league and all of us who watch it if the deal is made.
You've been pouring water on this deal for months now, and I'm not pouring water on it. I think it's a trade that makes too much sense. I told you for the last couple of weeks, there's something broken with the Nets. It's not working with the Nets.
That's
and when
true.
Kevin Durant comes back, it's not going to work. I believe that James Harden is sick of Kevin Durant, who he played with in Oklahoma City and knows a long time. I believe he is sick of Kyrie Irving, who does not play half the games. And I believe that in this losing streak, you're seeing a disinterested James Harden who wants out. I disagree with you on the balance of power if the trade is made. Ben Simmons does not shoot a lot. That helps Kyrie Irving, and it helps Kevin Durant. He rebounds, which Harden doesn't do. He plays defense, which none of them do, because in the current losing streak, Mike, that team has given up 120 points a game. And I agree with you completely that it could give Philadelphia a championship, because you're getting something for nothing. And I mean nothing, because Ben Simmons ain't playing at all. And you're getting a Hall of Fame guard. But I think this deal makes too much sense not to do, Mike. I do.
Tone, it doesn't make any sense for Brooklyn right now. It just doesn't. And Ben Simmons is not going to be any damn good this season for Brooklyn. He's just not. He hasn't played, Tony. And so what he does, he's going to stand around and look at Durant and look at Kyrie. I don't think it helps them. I really think it could help Philly, and Philly needs to do it, because Joel Embiid is so great in recent games. I know you don't like him, and I love him. Joel Embiid has been so great. He was great against Phoenix, and they lost the other night. They're wasting his time. They're wasting
Mike,
his career. They
Mike,
need to make a move.
One sentence,
I don't know
Mike,
that this will happen now.
One sentence. James what? Harden has checked out of Brooklyn. He's checked
out. Tone, it does seem like that, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I don't think it's going to happen, though. It'll be fun if it does. Let's move to the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat at the Winter Olympics. U.S. snowboarder Lindsay Jacob Ellis won gold in the snowboard cross 16 years after she famously wiped out while snowboarding down the stretch. Meanwhile, Michaela Schifrin, wow, hoped to make up for that fall in the giant slalom, but missed the fifth gate in the slalom and once again was out of the race, this time after fewer than 5 seconds. So which of these is the more compelling story?
Mike, I wrote a sports column for 25 years, and I learned something writing a sports column. I learned that losers are always more compelling than winners. I learned that tragedy is more important than triumph, and I learned that heartbreak is the common denominator for a great column, heartbreak. And that's what you have seen with Mikayla Shiffrin. She goes out in 11 seconds in the first run. She goes out in 5 seconds in a second run, and nobody in the world is quite sure if there's going to be a third run. My heart goes out to her because she is willing to cut open her veins and bleed for you. She'll tell you every single thing that is going on. There's a picture this morning in the Washington Post of her sitting alone in the snow. She's got her arms wrapped around her knees, and she is so alone physically, and she is so alone emotionally. The other day, I compared her to John McEnroe, who, when he lost, hopped on the couch for you and unburdened himself. Today, I think I've got to say Simone Biles, because she may be the greatest World Cup skier of all time, Mike, and she's got the twisties right now.
Tony, like you, I thought about what I would write if I was at the Winter Olympics. And like you, we both sat on some mountains or close by in a nice cabin, and we tried to figure out what the hell we were going to write. And I've covered a lot of winners. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods. I mean, LeBron James. The best things I've ever written in my life were about heartbreak. And I thought about that, too. It's Shiffrin.
All the time.
It's Shiffrin. It is. I wrote about John Elway, all those times he lost, and the fumble, and the, you know, all these famous things in history. And at the Olympics, Tony, a father coming out of the stands to put his arm around his kid and walk after he had ripped up his knee. Those are, I don't want to say the greatest
stories. Those are the moments.
I think they're the most compelling stories, and that was the question.
They're the greatest stories. They're the greatest stories.
Yes.
More people relate to heartbreak than anything else. People say that could be me. Nobody thinks they can win a gold medal, Mike. They think they're going to lose, and they want to know what it's like.
Even the great Carl Lewis.
For this girl.
What do we remember about Carl Lewis? Carl Lewis won everything
in
the world.
When he lost to Ben Johnson.
When he lost to Ben Johnson, he looked and he said, I couldn't catch him. He couldn't catch him. And that look on his face is, he is a winner.
Right.
Carl Lewis defines winning. And yet, the moment of heartbreak may have been the most compelling thing in his career. So Shiffrin, for all the wrong
reasons.
I root for
Mikayla Shiffrin.
I root for her.
And she's going to look back on her life and her career, and she's going to be miserable, and she shouldn't be. But she is. In the moment, she is.
So
we move to college basketball now. I sure hope Auburn enjoyed being number one, because they won't be in the next poll. They lost at Arkansas last night after stomping on the Razorbacks logo before the game. Wilmont, do you want to focus on the small story of Auburn dancing on the logo, or the biggest story of a number one going down?
Well, the logo, because I predicted in, like, the 1st of December, I said to you, when there was a second number one, or maybe it was a third, I said, there are going to be 10 of these. There are going to be 10 number ones. There have been five teams, six number ones. There's going to be four more. I'm going to get to 10. The logo thing is so unbelievable. It's like, it doesn't matter what sport it is, men or boys of any age, we are stupid. We are just collectively morons, because we don't seem to understand, no matter what the uniform, no matter what the region of representation, that if you go out there and do this, you anger people. Because, you know, if somebody did it to you, you would be angry. And yet, teams go out there and they are just dopes. And no amount of coaching, no amount of cajoling, no amount of mentorship, alums can't say, son, don't do this. We did this in 1957. It was stupid. It's always stupid. So I'm focused on that.
Let me go the other way. Nah, I'm not gonna. Let me go back to the logo for a second. Let me echo what you're saying. Let me look at people out there who watch this show. Do you think that when we say it's stupid to do this in football, that suddenly we're going to say it's not stupid in basketball?
That's right.
It's stupid all the time.
Every time.
It is publicly antagonizing your opponent. It's making your opponent want to beat you. And I am happy when your opponent beats you if you do this to the logo. I would have been happy if Terrell Owens was planted on that star in Dallas Stadium. It's stupid all the time to do this. And by the way, who died and said that Auburn was a great basketball power? You know how many championships Auburn has won, national championships? Zero is the correct number. Arkansas actually won one, 40 minutes of hell with Nolan Richardson. Auburn's a football school. This ain't the Iron Bowl. You don't go out there and stomp on somebody's logo. You deserve to lose, right, Mike?
Somebody's going to do it this season. I wonder what the Chuckster, Auburn's most famous basketball product. I didn't call Charles last night because I thought he might be angry about this, too angry to talk.
Should be angry.
He can't be pleased.
Stupid
he can't
is
be
stupid,
pleased
kids.
With
stupid. Let's take a break. Coming up, why is Aaron Donald so effective for the Rams? We're going to ask Jeff Saturday.
We'll also ask him whether he'd rather block for Stafford or Burrow.
They all went out there and stepped on the Razorback.
This is dope.
Why would you do
this
that?
Just so many generations of morons now. Morons. They are.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Popeyes Big...
The Super Bowl kicks off in less than 97 hours. So joining us to discuss it is ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday. Wilbon, I watch him in the mornings long before you're awake. He's really good. Jeff,
well,
we're going to start with
this. Luckily, these things are played a second time, Tony. I can watch Jeff closer to noon. Closer to noon.
Too much has happened during the day to wait around for you. Jeff, you played
it.
On the offensive line. When you watch Aaron Donald in particular, what does he do that gives people in your position on the line so much concern and so many nightmares?
Well, first of all, he gives you the cold sweats and nightmares. You said it best as an offensive lineman. But listen, his leverage and explosion is second to none. Like when you see him enter into blocks, you got to think for an offensive lineman, we're taught about getting leverage, getting our hands inside, and you try to go do that. And his hat level and his pad level starts out naturally below yours. So then when he hits you, he explodes out of these hips, and all of a sudden he's doing all this basic ninja things with his hands. He's wiping your hands away. He's knocking you around. And next thing you know, he's hitting your quarterback, and you're looking at your offensive staff on the sideline thinking, what just happened? But in all honesty, man, this guy, his motor is scary, but he has phenomenal technique. He has phenomenal fundamentals, and he plays football the way it should be played. So the reason he gives you nightmare because he puts all those things together with that motor and that effort he plays with. He truly is the most dominating defensive tackle that I've watched play.
Jeff, I love sitting with former professional athletes and watching their reactions to particularly crazy things that happen on courts and fields. And I wish I'd been sitting with you when Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times to see what your reactions were like. I mean, what is an offensive lineman thinking? He hangs in there and he gets up from it, but he is sacked 9 times.
It's disgusting. It hurts. It hurts your heart. And listen, Michael, when you think about the guys I played with, you Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers. If I don't give up 9 sacks in a season. You know, it's impossible to think about that in a game. That Gatorade coolers aren't getting dumped over. That words we can't use on this show are being spoken to you about you and your family members. And that coaches aren't getting fired watching that happen is beyond me. But the part that's so impressive is that Joe Burrow, to your point, puts those poor plays behind him and just keeps moving forward. And there's something about that's infectious in the locker room, that he doesn't beat down on his players. He doesn't get upset. He just moves on. And I'm telling you, I have never seen a player be able to do that. It's been very impressive because I'm telling you, 9 sacks as an offensive lineman, it literally pains you to watch it as a player because you're thinking he's not going to get up. At some point, he's not going to get up, and you would just hate to see that.
I'll spread this out from Burrow and Stafford. You've seen probably every snap these two guys have taken in their professional careers. On Sunday, if you were going to choose, who would you rather block for?
Oh, man, that is tough. Ooh, I got – listen, I'm going to go Burrow. And I'm just going to say that I love Matt Stafford. He's incredible, man. And he's a Hall of Famer in my opinion. This guy is a fantastic football player. Man, Joe Burrow, the way that he maneuvers himself in the pocket – is special. You know, it's not just he has to break contain. It's not just his legs. His true ability to maneuver and manipulate the pocket and still keep his eyes downfield and make the throws and keep up with everything that's tracking down the field is literally electrifying for an offensive lineman because you know that you're not always going to be perfect, right? You might be on the edge and a guy's kind of pushing you and kind of closing the corner down or doing something that way that he can slide over 3 or 4 inches. And it's very Tom Brady-esque. I'm not comparing the two. I would never do that this early. But his ability to maneuver in the pocket and avoid sacks and negative plays and get the ball off, I'm telling you, man, I love that. I would prefer to block for that just because I know I'm not always going to be perfect. He can make me perfect even when I'm not.
All right, Jeff, we'll get you out of here on this. The game sets up, obviously, Cincinnati is a Cinderella story and the Rams are the Yankees. They're the best team money can buy.
Yeah.
Contrasting styles, which way are you leaning right now?
I'm going Rams 31-28 is what I'm thinking. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be a ton of fun. I think both quarterbacks actually have very good days. I think the Rams have a little more at the end. But I'm telling you, man, either way this thing goes, I'd be super fired up. I mean, two great teams to watch. I can't wait for it.
That's 31-28. The number
31-28,
is 4. That means if you bet, on Cincinnati, you're going to win on that one. Thank you Jeff.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate
y'all. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, does Brad Marchand deserve a suspension for his antics last night? Of course he does. Come on.
And what does last night's fourth quarter benching again mean for Russell Westbrook's future with the Lakers? How about his present with the Lakers?
If you got up early, you could watch Jeff Saturday like I do. If you got up early. But no,
well,
you want to
late.
Be selfish.
I can see him in
asleep.
Person right here. What are you talking about? I'm going to go talk to him during the press.
Tonight on SportsCenter at 6 Eastern. Live coverage from L.A. including Matthew Stafford and Joe Burrow's latest messages for Super Bowl 56. Plus, Roger Goodell addresses Brian Flores' NFL lawsuit in his yearly Super Bowl press conference. And assessing the rising pressure on Russell Westbrook and the Lakers as the NBA trade deadline closes in. SportsCenter, 6 Eastern on ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 20th birthday, Jalen Green. Green was the second overall pick in the NBA draft last year by the Houston Rockets. Green is the young man who disdained college basketball and went instead to the G League, where he earned $500,000. The Rockets were the worst team in the league last season, finishing 17-55, and they started this season 1-16, but they're 14-23 since. Green is averaging 14.3 points, 3.3 rebounds, and 2.4 assists, but he's shooting just 37.7% from the field and only 29 from three. Curiously, Green was Houston's first-round pick since 2015 when they took Sam Decker. Former GM Daryl Morey traded number one picks like candy.
Yeah, the NBA announced yesterday Green's going to be in the dunk contest, Tony. Green, Cole Anthony, Juan Toscano Anderson from Golden State, and Obi Toppin. who doesn't do much for the Knicks, but he can throw it down. I'd handicap him as the early favorite. Green's got some bounce and some talent. Can't shoot it yet, but he's got some talent.
All right. So it's okay to come from the D-League and not go to college, you think? Happy anniversary, D. Brown. On this day 31 years ago, the Celtics rookie paused to pump up his Reebok sneakers before throwing down an enjoyable series of dunks in the dunk contest. The highlight for Brown, the one that clinched him the championship, was his famous no-look dunk, where he put his right arm over his eyes and he dunked lefty. This was a landmark dunk. Wilbon, I want you to compare it to what we saw from the NHL All-Star Weekend, when Trevor Zegras was blindfolded and he spun around and he scored a goal. Which was better and why?
Well, Tony, there's something that's just sort of defying about being airborne, which a hockey player is not going to do and a basketball player is going to do. You're in the air. I mean, there's some evil Knievel quality about that. But just in terms of magic with the hands, El Mago, baby, I think I got to go with the goal, because we all figure on the ground planted, we got some magic in our hands if you play some sports. Airborne, so maybe that's, I don't know, now I'm talking myself out of it. They're both impressive.
The guy was blindfolded. How did he do that? He was blindfolded.
He was blindfolded.
Happy trails, Brad Marchand. The Bruins forward was tossed last night after behaving badly towards Pittsburgh goalie Tristan Jarry. At the end of the second period, Jarry was going to toss a puck to a fan on the other side of the glass when Marchand swatted Jarry's stick and later threw the puck to the ice disdainfully. In the third period, after failing to score, Marchand punched Jarry. And as he was being led away, Marchand hit Jarry in the helmet with his stick. Marchand received a match penalty and surely will be suspended. For this is slightly worse than licking an opponent, don't you think? He's got to go, right?
Why is a player as significant as Marchand so smarmy? Why is there stuff that just, you know, he just seeks it out like, I've got to be smarmy. And he succeeds, apparently. He really does.
You got to go for this. It's just,
yes,
that's terrible behavior.
Games. Multiple
it's just
games.
Terrible. One omission, the Canadiens fired head coach Dominique Ducharme. Ducharme led them to the Stanley Cup final last season, was an interim, was hired full-time in July. People are going to say, how could you fire him? In hockey,
they'll fire
this
you,
happens
man.
All the time.
In the NHL, they
you.
Will
Lou
get
Amarillo
rid of you.
Fired everybody in New Jersey.
Wow.
They could win cups. Doesn't matter. Let's go to the big finish. The LA County District Attorney says Trevor Bauer will not face charges in connection with an alleged sexual assault. Your thoughts?
I don't know, but it's the LA District County District Attorney. It's not, you know, people on Twitter. It's a district attorney. That has a little gravity to it, whether you agree or disagree. The NFL says it will head the latest investigation into Dan Snyder and his team. Does that make sense to you?
I saw Roger Goodell today at a press conference. He said, we're not paying attention to Dan Snyder hiring investigators to investigate him. That's not how it works. We'll do it. That thing's not over yet. That's not. The NBA named its top 15 coaches of all time. Any quibbles?
Not with the people who are in there, but Rudy T, Billy Cunningham, they got to be in there. Rudy T and Billy Cunningham, come on now. Those guys won titles. I think three collectively. Lakers lost to the Bucks. Russ was benched for the fourth. What now, Tone?
If you're going to keep the coach, I think you have to trade Russell Westbrook. This doesn't work.
Wow.
He's a Hall of Fame guy. Can't do it. Last one, will the Warriors win their 10th in a row tonight in Utah?
No Rudy Gobert. I think the Warriors will win again. If Utah was whole, Utah's got to get into a stride, get a kick going here. But I don't think it's going to start tonight. Warriors win.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can see Greeny, Stephen A., Jalen, me. Duke it out at Countdown, 7 Eastern. Maybe a fill like on that late game, too. And now, here's SportsCenter.
50 degrees today in Washington. I should have gotten the sticks. I should have gone and hit it.
I can't believe you did.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides.
See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.